Brahmasri, everything you need to know is on this whiteboard. That's it. You understand this, you can become enlightened. After I go through it one more time, then it becomes easy to understand. Can. No need one. The moment you understand, you awaken already. It's just like this one. The moment you are silent, you already aware. So when you understand this, why must you cultivate awareness? Why must you try to be aware? Just cultivate state, silent. As I just now, you asked me, you cannot just silent because you are suppressing. You are not suppressing if you understand. Because be with it means the awareness and the emotion and the fear, the craving, the desire, the whatever selfishness, restlessness. Stay with it. Don't try to do anything. Don't try to like do away with it, suppress it or control it. Forget about it. Just understand it. Stay with it. That is meditation, the third way. Aware. The moment you are aware, you start to understand that these are all not intrinsic. It doesn't belong to your true mind. These are all dependent originating condition arising. That's why the Buddha said, dependent on the organ, which can be your eye or your ear or your brain, memory, then the external form, visual form, or vibration, which is through your hearing form, or mental form. Yeah? So, organ and the external form, the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases, upon contact, when your consciousness make contact, because your consciousness has delusion. This delusion is the cause of suffering. That's why this one grabs and cling and hold. That's why the mind stir. Then you become unhappy. Your brain starts to condition you to perceive with negativity. Then fear, worry, selfishness, dislike, or whatever, the evil roots and the mental illness, they arise. So when you know that this is the cause, what must you do? You have to straighten your view in order to retrospectively reverse it. How to straighten your view? Because you have been perceiving them with negativity. Your views and opinion of things. That's why you are just a human being with just a bundle of memories with its conditioning, views, opinion, and belief system and tradition. So when you know that this is what you are because of your delusion, you have to actually understand all this, then not to allow this to affect you. Otherwise, you act according to memory, which is what you think you are. But this one is from a mind, nothing to do with you. Then you got problem. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. So you should act according to wisdom, understanding. Then there is true action. Wisdom means forget about the belief system, your conditioning. Forget about you are Chinese, you are Buddhist. Or what? You only learn the Dhamma. This is the teaching of the Buddha, the truth. When you understand the truth, you act according to your understanding, which is the Dhamma. Things are just the way they are. Condition arising, dependent originating, impermanent, leading to suffering. That's why they are non-self, empty. So all this, they are all tied together. That's why the Dhammanupassana, mindfulness of five mental hindrance, then five aggregate of form and mind, and then the six internal and six external sense bases. Then after that, only the seven factor of enlightenment, they keep on arising. And then the Four Noble Truths will be understood clearly. That's how the whole of this whiteboard is what the teaching is all about. And you don't need to search anywhere else. If you penetrate this, you awaken, I tell you. It's as simple as that, not what you think. We are human beings fail to understand. When I say you understand this, means you really, really have the understanding inside. It's not knowledge, it's not memory. means you truly understand. Can follow? We better start our puja. Okay, come. Who were like? Jin Hao and Christina. Huh? Okay. How to light the incense and the candle. After, I think we go through this. This will help you a lot. Then you can ask questions. Rainbow castle. Ah, yeah, me from. Start our puja. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. So much. You can go back to your place and develop the mindfulness. Develop the sadha, the faith, the virya, and the mindfulness. Then we will start the puja. Arahaṃ sammā sambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Svakato bhagavata dhammo Dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. You can be seated and turn to page 1 of our chanting book. We shall recite the salutation to the Buddha. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, we are now chanting the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarappa ditena dipena tamadhangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang. Ganda sambara yutena dupena hang suganghina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang. Vanna ganda gono petang etang kasuma santati pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe. Puje mi buddhang kasumena nena punnena chitena tumokhang rupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasabhavang. Adivasetuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatumutamang. Adivasetuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatumutamang. Adivasetuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatumutamang. now make the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is the perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to obtain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Give less be respect to Tripitaka. Vedang pachemi. Dhammang pachemi. Sanghang pachemi. Okay, you can be seated. Okay, today since everybody has been here before, we can straight away start the meditation. We have about 24 minutes. So we were off the line. Then you all can develop the meditation. Meditation is very simple, You must do it with understanding. So you can check if your spiritual faculty is not stable, means you still have mental hindrance, then you train your mind. Then for those who already train, if the mental faculties are already quite good and quite stable, then you just have to stabilize your sati or mindfulness. You want to still develop the decondition of your heedless thinking by going through the mind sweeping method, you can then combine with loving kindness and metta to develop the silent mind. The inner peace will arise when you are able to decondition your heedless thinking. Then when you combine metta, you develop inner well-being. These are two mind states that are useful for you to train your mind. The inner peace can lead to awareness or sati, mindfulness. Then what you do is you have to use an object of meditation to stabilize it. Okay, I'll let you meditate on your own. Then I will ring the bell after about 20 or 22 minutes. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who open up slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then we turn to page 6. We chant the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine or the teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heavens and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Dear brothers and sisters, let's chant together, invite the devas together. Samanta Chakravalesu Atragachantu Devata Satamang Muniyajasa Sunantu Kadam Dhamma Savanam Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanam Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanam Kalo Ayam Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Ittipiso Bhagava Arahang Sammasambuddho Vijacharana Sampanno Sukato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manosanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandhittiko Kaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabo Inohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Yadidang chatari purisa yogani Atta purisa pukala Esa bhagavato savakasangho Ahuniyo pahuniyo Dakiniyo Anjali karaniyo
Anuttarang punyaketang lokasati. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's be respect. Triple gem. Bhutang pujahimi. Dhammang pujahimi. Sanghang pujahimi. Okay, you can be seated. Like I said, tonight maybe we will go through all those that I have written on the whiteboard. The essential dhammas are actually all there. And basically, this is what you need to develop the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma, the teaching, and also to awaken, to become enlightened. These are all the short notes, the important pointers, and they connect the whole teaching together. So you can understand and use it to develop the awakening. Actually, tonight I want to clarify certain things because a lot of people don't understand what cultivation is. Cultivation is not about sitting and walking alone. Go to retreat. That one is actually to train your mind to make yourself peaceful, calm. Then they only maybe make it colorable for you, thinking that if you do that, you are meditating, then you will become enlightened. Actually, the whole cultivation involves a very complicated process. That's why the Buddha has listed out his teaching in such a way. Do you remember during the time of the Buddha? He actually strived on for 6 years. He cultivated the most austere meditation. All of the concentration, absorption, jhana, everything. He did whatever that the teacher tell him to do. And he even do beyond what they tell him to do. Finally, what happened? He was not satisfied. He knew this is not enlightenment. Well, what he wants to realize is a wisdom that can allow him to really understand what he seek. You remember when he left the palace life for the holy life to cultivate? What was the four signs that he saw? First one is what? A very sick person. Then a very old person. Then a dead person. Then finally, of course, is a samana, a holy man. Very serene, very peaceful. So, the moment he saw this tree sign, he asked the attendant because he couldn't understand how come this person is like that. Oh, the attendant said, he is sick, very, very sick. That's why you look at him, he's suffering. He has a lot of problem within. Because when the body is sick, as you go through old age, sickness and death, without wisdom, without understanding, you will be afflicted. Then he reflected what the Father has given him, all the beautiful aspect of life, because the Father kept the four signs away from him because he was told by the wise man, the moment your son sees the four signs, he will leave the home life to cultivate and to develop the wisdom. Then he asked the attendant, what do you mean by sick? Yet he was never sick before. He said, every human being, as you go through life, when you are not so fortunate, not enough food, not enough nutrients, don't have the so-called doctor and everything to take care of you, then when certain thing goes wrong, you will get sick, and some of these sickness can be very traumatic, very, very severe. He said, you mean one day I also will become like that? The tendency, yes, every human being has to go through that. Then he realized life has got no more meaning. All of the beautiful palace, the beautiful life that the Father has given him, he has no more meaning. Because towards the end, he still got this problem of getting old, getting sick. And finally, he must die. That's why he said, I have a problem. I have to seek for an understanding to overcome this human suffering, which is old age, sickness and death. Then he saw the holy man, the Samana, serene, peaceful. He believed by going forth that way, he can develop the wisdom to understand. Then when he go forth for the 6 years, the meditation that was taught to him is all about mostly energy field, very high concentration mind state, either one-pointedness, developing into jhana or absorption meditation, that develop into a lot of stillness and calmness. And all this he realized is just a conditioned state. Maybe slow down the physical body from getting old and getting sick. But then he realized his mind is still not free from the fundamental reality of old age, sickness and death. He has yet to seek the answer to all this, which is the reality of life and existence. That's how the noble truth, the first noble truth of suffering, comes to be. Then he realized the attachment, the clinging, the grasping. Then when death occurs, separation and all those things, then before death occurs, separation can also happen. So all these are suffering. Then he don't understand why human beings must suffer. What is the cause behind all this? He couldn't understand. That's why he sat for to meditate, thinking that when you meditate into such profound mind state, all of a sudden you can become enlightened and you understand everything. But he realized it's not to be. What is needed is wisdom, understanding, which he can't penetrate. Because the teaching that is taught to him is somebody meditating. You understand? Yeah? Somebody meditating. Somebody seeking to be enlightened. That's why he was trapped in the egoic mind, in the self-delusion. That's why no amount of mental states can actually root out the ignorance, which is self-delusion mainly. And nobody taught him about the universal characteristics of impermanent leading to suffering, non-self and empty nature. He got to find out himself. He got to develop his own wisdom through meditation to awaken. But because of his past cultivation, his parami, that's why when the time come, when he saw the sign, then he reflected. He said, this is not the way to develop the understanding. So what happened was, he left the five ascetic, you remember? He even left his teacher, Anarayana Udaka. They invite him to be equal, to teach and all those things. He said, never mind. He will continue to seek, because what he wants, he is very clear. And he realized he couldn't overcome because with the form, with the self, with the egoic mind, with the personality, this body, if you think is you, then all its sickness and death will be there. Then you cannot escape. And all the good life got no meaning. Because sooner or later, he got to get old, he got to get sick, and he got to die. And this is where the problem is. Ultimately, no answer. That's why he keep on striving. But then he realized he need food. That's why he left the five ascetic. He go the middle way. Not to torture the body so severely, self-mortification. That's why when he became enlightened, he straight away teach the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon. And in opening statement, what did he told the five ascetic? These two extremes is to be avoided. See? What are they? Self-mortification, the first one. The other one is sensual indulgence. That's why you cannot indulge and mortify your own physical body. You need the body. Just like what my teacher told me, Ajayantra. He said, body is just a body. Mind is mind. Body never the mind. Mind never the body. We choose to take care of mind because mind is most important, just like what the Buddha said, our mind is the forerunner of all things. When mind arises, everything arises. That's why mind is chief. Mind is the forerunner of all things. When mind arises, all the phenomena world, everything arises. Then he said, our body is also important too, because we need this body to support us to develop the cultivation, the understanding. So that's what is meant by the middle path, the first aspect of it. Avoid the two extremes of sensual indulgence and self-mortification. So when you do that, you have to take care of both your physical body, means the basic necessity, the whatever robe or what you need to cover yourself from warm and all those things. Then the food to sustain yourself and all those things. But not to indulge. Not to attach, crave. So that aspect is so important. Then when he understand that, he realized this mind need to be trained. When you have a proper body that can support you, then when you have a clear mind, then you can develop it. Then he remembered when he was young as a child, he was quite well fed, looked after. Then he can just sit down there in serene calmness. He didn't enter the deep absorption, the deep jhana and all those things. He was in the first jhana. First jhana, you still have your applied thought, sustained thought. Then, of course, when he become peaceful, he experience piti. Because when your thought doesn't move, then you apply and keep it there. Means you maintain awareness or stability of mind there. Then it's like sati, awareness. Then you can experience piti. Then when you experience piti, if you were to continue to allow it to be and relax further, then sukha will arise. Then of course the last one is the one-pointedness of mind, the five jhanic factor. But then because the applied thought and sustained thought is still there, thought are still there. That's why the first jhana is not an absorption yet. Not a very strong concentration yet. Then he used that mind state to reflect and contemplate on what is happening. Then because of his past cultivation, Then when he relax, reflect and contemplate, then he start to see all of the birth, one by one, one by one, one by one, like what is described in the sutta. Then he realized that all these are dependent originating because of your action, your deed, your wrong view, your delusion, your three evils of greed, hatred and delusion. Then you are conditioned into that birth. Then when he saw all this, endless, then he connect back to his past cultivation. Then he start to realize that this form and mind is not him. These are elements. No consciousness, no awareness. Then the consciousness itself, which is the awareness, initially, it is just aware. There was no content of consciousness because there was no delusion. Then he realized the content of consciousness has the aggregates of feeling, perception, activity of mind, consciousness. Then he realized that these are dependent originating, condition arising. Mundane mind, not the true mind. That's why through that he penetrated. Then he saw dependent origination due to ignorance. The mind starts to create mental activity, thinking. Then when it thinks, it makes contact with the mind. Mind consciousness arise, input content, the five aggregate arise. And depending on the five aggregate of form and mind, the sense basis must be there. That's why in the whiteboard I wrote here, the organ, the six internal and six external sense organ or sense basis. So when he realized that, then he came to know clearly the whole of the teaching that he has cultivated before. That's why after that, he starts to understand the teaching, the Noble Truth, the Dhamma, which was actually in existence before the Buddha. That's why he proclaimed the Noble Truth. So we come back to his teaching. That's why from there, because of his past cultivation, reflection, contemplation, then he developed all this understanding. Then when this understanding came back at the night when he meditated under the Bodhi tree, he didn't go into deep absorption. Otherwise, he cannot contemplate. He cannot recall all those past cultivation and perfection. He cannot inherit them. Because he connected the true mind, then all this come. That's why the spiritual nature actually bring forth the condition for all this to come. That's why just like my nature, this life, a lot of things that I understood, I never learned this life. Not even my teacher, they never teach me. But then how come my nature can know? Why is it possible? It's because of the past cultivation. That's why you have to connect first to the true mind, silent mind. So all of meditation is to connect back to that. The fundamental understanding is, like what I share with you most of the time, even as Sumero, you must understand that this form and mind is not you. This is karmically conditional. A vehicle and a tool for us to come to this world. Then this form and mind, even though it's not you, but this is the segmented life that your nature manifests through karma to come. Can you understand? You need to use this to meditate, to connect back to your true mind. Then you have to come to an understanding that there are two very different types of mind within this form of mind. Because karmically conditioned out the segmented life, you need this vehicle and tool to come. And it's only this segmented life or form and mind, which is the vehicle and the tool, that can meditate and connect to the true nature, the true mind. That's why you have to come to understand clearly. One is the dependent originating condition arising mind. We call it the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the egoic mind. That one is impermanent, lead to suffering, empty, non-self, not you. When you understand that, then you are not deluded. by that mundane mind. That's why the Buddha said, mind is a forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. The phenomena will arise. That is the mundane mind. That is not the true mind. Meditation is to silence your mind, to develop the sati, the spiritual faculty. Whatever you do, you cannot train your mind to have the spiritual faculties of sadda, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. You cannot understand the spiritual teaching. You cannot understand the Buddha Dhamma. That's why he always teaches the two sets of five. One is the five spiritual faculty. The other opposite five is the mental hindrance. The Buddha said, the moment you have this mental hindrance, you cannot meditate. You cannot understand spiritual teaching. Well, these are the mental states or mind states. They will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness or awareness to connect to your true mind. And the moment you cannot understand that true mind, you will be deluded by the mundane mind. You will be conditioned into self-delusion, negativity, to grasp, to cling, and give meaning, and everything like real to you. That's how you get yourself entangled. That's how the egoic mind arises, the personality, the me and the I arise. That's why the Surangabha Sutta says, the knower becomes the living being. The consciousness, which is the mundane mind, created the continent and the universe. Then this knower, which is the living being, becomes the traveler in space and time. That's how samsara is created. So when you deludedly grasp onto the knower, or the thinker, or the thought created by the mundane mind, dependent originating mind, then you get yourself entangled. That's how they cannot free. The whole of meditation is to realize that there is an inner nature which is silent, just aware, without thought, without movement. The moment there is any movement or activity that arises, they call it the mundane mind, the thinking mind, or in the English terminology is psychological mind, means psychological time or movement. When there is mental activity, there is psychological time, understand that? Because you experience life. Life is, to live life is to exist, isn't it? To exist is to go through time. And that time is thinking. When you think, psychological time arises, understand that? When you are without thought, silent, the timeless, there is no psychological time. That's why the pure state, even the pure energy, the pure state is without time. It's called the timeless, akaliko. That's why the Dhamma that we are going to realize is akaliko, timeless, beyond thought, beyond time. So if you use thought, you can never realize it. So the whole of meditation is to understand this. And this whiteboard is an elaboration of what the Buddha Dhamma is. So we start off with usually the puja, that one we went through, the puja. That is what the Buddha advised before any spiritual activity. You should have a pre-puja, then a post-puja. Why did he emphasize on puja? Puja is to develop what? Spiritual faculties, faith, leading to virya, then sati, because you do it mindfully. Then you rejoice, sadhu, then you cultivate merits, wholesomeness. All of the 10 perfections you can do, you pay respect, reverential salutation. That's why the whole of cultivation, the Buddha actually subdivided into dana, sila, and bhavana. You remember? Dana, sila, and bhavana. So dana is generosity. That's why during puja, we start cultivating generosity by making offering to the Buddha. We offer all the what they call religious object that allow us to recall to mind their significance, like clear water, candle, incense, flowers, fruits, and even other related significant offering, even the what they call jasmine flower and other things, fragrance. Then there are many other things that can develop the spiritual faculty, develop the dana parami. Then after that, we chant the salutation to the Buddha. We take refuge. All this is to allow us to develop affinity, develop the wholesomeness, the merits, the parami, and affinity with the Triple Gem. Then we renew our precepts. This one comes from the advice of the Buddha. Dhammapada verse 183, he said, you have to avoid all evil. Means keep your precept, because people who violate the precept has the evil roots. That's why you don't keep precept, you cannot avoid all evil. Then do good, cultivate virtue, which is to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, first few path factor. To right view, to develop the right thought, right speech, right action, then only you can take care of karma. Then only you can have virtue, wholesomeness. Then finally, of course, to meditate, to develop the wisdom, to free, to liberate, so that you are not deceived by the form and mind, so that you are not deluded by the phenomenal world. So all this is a systematic progression through puja. Then later on, after our puja, we again rejoice, pay respect, Triple Gem. Then the closing puja, he teaches more. We share merits with the devas. We share merits with those who have passed away, our departed relatives, and all those who can receive them. Then we invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for us to avoid the foolish, the heedless, meet up with the wise and the enlightened, so that Nibbana can be realized as soon as possible. Then they also teach us how to develop the five daily contemplation, which you have to do. Then after that, they also continue to teach you how to develop forgiveness, repentance, asking for forgiveness and repentance and other things. Then through all this, you will develop the first two, dana, sila. Then all the conditions you need to develop the meditation will be there. That's why this bhavana come in last. And bhavana is basically meditation. So this meditation is not about sitting and walking. You must develop clear understanding why you sit, why you walk. Meditation is to develop wisdom. That's why they use the word. Bhavana can be divided into samadhi and panya. That's why tomorrow's talk at Klang is very important. Importance of sati, samadhi, to develop vipassana, wisdom. Samadhi and panya. Without samadhi, there is no wisdom. And wisdom is the only thing that free. Not all the meditative experience, not all the conditioned state, the fantastic mind state, the blissfulness, the calmness, the stillness, the deep chanic state and other things, even the beautiful nimitta and other things, no meaning. Wisdom is what you need. And samadhi, according to the Buddha and the Noble Eightfold Path, is sati and samadhi. These are the two Noble Eightfold Path factors that the Buddha termed as samadhi. Right view is panya, wisdom. Then right thought, right speech, right action, right effort and right livelihood is under sila. That's why sila, samadhi, panya. Panya is actually right view, wisdom. So basically, this is the teaching. So when you go for meditation, do not be gullible. You must understand what is it that you are doing in the name of meditation. After we have gone through this explanation, now I ask you a question. We discuss so that you understand, so that you go for retreat, you go for meditation, you know what you are doing. According to the Buddha, after he has explained all this, what is the thing that you have to develop? Yeah? You have to develop the opposite five spiritual faculty to overcome the mental hindrances. What are the spiritual faculty? Saddha is confident in the Buddha and his teaching. How do you develop that? Through the puja. Understand? That's how you chant, yeah? The nine great virtues of the Buddha. Then when you understand who the Buddha is, how wise and how virtuous he is, how great a being he is, your faith in him becomes unshakable. Your respect, your gratitude towards him become very different. Then this will drive you to meditate, where you know his teaching is so beautiful, so important for your life, for your existence, for you to develop the wisdom so that you did not allow the delusion to set in, to entangle yourself, to make life miserable for you, so that suffering need not be. Then Saddha Virya, where's the five spiritual faculties there? Oh yeah. I just overlap it. So once you have the faith, Saddha, it will drive you to cultivate. That's why this is spiritual zeal, Virya. It will rise on its own because you see the importance of it, understand? Then when you cultivate, you will develop the first spiritual faculty of meditation, which is part of samadhi, sati. How do you start? You must understand what is sati, understand? Otherwise, how can you cultivate something that you totally don't understand? That's why people become gullible. They tell you to note, you note. They tell you to focus, you focus. They say walk, you walk. Sit, you sit. By doing all that, do you think it will transform you? The whole of the teaching is about the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon, the Four Noble Truths, the three turning. After hearing the first turning, you have to reflect, contemplate, and inquire the second. All this must be part of cultivation. Then only you can meditate with understanding. Otherwise, you are doing it without understanding, become gullible. You just believe what people say. So sati, as we have defined, what is sati? Sati is just aware before the knowing. So awareness before the knowing. So sati. The moment you are silent without thought, you are already aware in sati. So when there is sati, there is no thought. Understand? Because no verbalization, no chattering, no thinking, no activity of mind, no heedlessness. So when there is no thought, there is no mental hindrance. There is no duality. There is no concept. That's why this is the true mind. This is the silent mind that can see things as they are, that can be with the moment to experience everything. If you are not in sati, means what? You are thinking, lost in thought. That's why those who don't have the spiritual faculty think a lot. That's why you, when you ask them to meditate, they cannot. They tell you a lot of thought, restless. And because of that, you know what they teach you? Method and technique. Focus, concentrate. They give you an object of meditation. Actually, is to anchor the mind so that it does not wander on, so that it does not think. But you don't understand. They themselves also don't understand. But they never tell you. And they have been taught that way. They continue to teach that way without understanding, thinking that that is meditation. That is not meditation. That is just initially to train the mind to have sati. They said the Buddha said kaya anupassana, the first category of practice or cultivation is what? Yeah? And the kaya anupassana? Anapanasati. And what is anapanasati? He never said focus on the breath, concentrate on the breath. He said develop mindfulness of the in and out breath, breathing in the way, breathing out the way. Just do that. Don't try to know. Then the mind will settle down. Every time it wanders off, bring it back. Every time it wanders off, bring it. That is just training the mind. All object of meditation is to train the mind so that it does not wander off and become heedless, so that it can be with the moment without thought. And we have gone through this. And this is present moment awareness. When I'm aware without thought, I can have the awareness to be aware of what is going on in there. The movement of aggregates of mind, my thought, my feeling, my perception, which is from the form of mind. That's why this one can be aware of all the mind state. That's why it can be aware of what is going on, how you function as a human being, dependent on your ignorant avijja, delusion. You create mental thinking. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara. You will see this link very clearly. There's a human being who has self-delusion, sakayadity, think a lot. As long as you are not enlightened, the spiritual faculty is not there, you will think a lot. You will become heedless. The heedless are as if dead. So when you think a lot, what happens? You are lost in thought. Means you are preoccupied with the thinking. You can follow. With your reaction, with your emotion, that you gather through that thinking process. All conditioned by what? By your views, your opinion, your memory, everything that you accumulate here, your belief system, your views and opinion of what meditation is. So all this is the one that causes you to become heedless, to think a lot, because you lack spiritual faculty. You don't understand what sati is. So meditation is just to relax the way. That's why the first support for meditation is always relax. Relax into every mind state that arises. Don't try to know. Whatever mind state you feel, like I say, any tension, any tightness, any stress, just relax into it. Relax. Then, the moment you are relaxed without thought, sati will be there. Awareness will be there. That's why you just aware. Then you maintain the awareness, means every movement you bring it back. Like anapanasati, anasana. If it's trying to get itself lost in thought, just bring it back. That's why maintain the sati, the silence. Don't try to know. Then by itself you will know. By itself you will understand. But this sati is the one that can allow you to see things as they are. Whatever movement or activity, the phenomenal world, can be physical, mental, or nature's phenomenal. That's why I told you all there are two types of awareness. One is specific phenomenal awareness. Can you remember? Means specific phenomenal. Your physical body, you got your physical movement, activity, and phenomenal. That's why this is a physical phenomenon. When I move my hand, when I move my leg, when I bend, turn, stretch, looking forward or whatever. All this physical activity, they constitute physical phenomena. So if my body and mind is in sequence, synchronized, that's why body and mind as one is kaya nupassana, mindfulness of kaya. Anapanasati is part of kaya. Now you understand why the Taiwanese master, Sun Yan Fa Shi, he teaches what is meditation. It's 16 words, 6个字. 心在哪里? 身在哪里? 心在哪里? Wherever the form is, the awareness also together with it. Then relax, 放松, 全体放松. 那就是禅. So because of that, those who understand, they know you anchor it to your physical body activity, and there is kaya anupassana. All the six categories of practice that the Buddha talked about. Actually, from anapanasati, you train yourself to be mindful. Then he said, after that, don't sit anymore. Develop mindfulness of four postures in daily life. Then after that, the connecting activity, the sati, including sampajana, means clearly comprehending what you are doing in life. Not only mindful, but clearly comprehending what is going on. That's why through the sati and sampajana, you understand what is going on very clearly. Then only you can contemplate the four elements, the 32 parts, the nine stages of sementary contemplation. Then when your kaya anupassana become very stable, you have sati leading to samadhi. That is daily mindfulness. That is the beginning of real meditation. Then after that, every moment of activity and movement, not only physical, mental. That's like mental flow, mental phenomena. Your mind and your awareness, they are one. That's why this awareness can be aware of feeling, aware of perception, aware of thinking, sankhara, mental states, activity of mind. Even your mental intention, whatever, planning, scheming, even your, what they call, the English word is what word is it? Your cunningness, there's another one, deceitfulness, like you want to cheat people. All these are part of sankhara. Then planning, scheming, whatever that your mind can do, all the movement, the activity, your mental states of fear, worry, anxiety, good meditative state, these are part of sankhara. Then the last one is consciousness. You can be conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you feel tactile or smell or taste, and the rising of thought consciousness. So this one, the Buddha call it consciousness, vijnanang. So vijnanang is another aspect of mind that you have to pay attention. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. In the hearing, there is only the hearing consciousness. That's why you see things as they are, not according to what your thought tell you. You understand? Because this one is from memory, conditioning. So this one is your views and your opinion of things. That's why when you perceive it, memory, acting according to memory, is not acting at all, because you are not seeing the truth, the reality. There is no direct seeing. That's why you cannot awaken. You are actually recalling through memory, through knowledge, through your conditioning. So when you see things according to memory, it's all according to your conditioning, your views, your opinion of what this thing is. That's why your mind can react and stir and create delusion. Because this one is egoic. Before it becomes enlightened, it has this wrong view, sakkāyādi. It believes that there is a person within, that this form of mind is me. Then there is a thinker behind the thought. Then there is a person who sees. That's why he says, I see, I hear, I smell, I taste, I tactile, feel, and think. And this is all sakkāyādi. That's why you cannot break free. You cannot see things as they are. To see things as they are is to be in the meditative state throughout the day, daily mindfulness. Then there is this, just this awareness, specific phenomenal awareness, like I said just now. Physical body, the body and mind move as one, most of the time without thought. When you are just aware, you cannot think. But to live life, you have to arise your thought. But you have to arise mindfully, means aware. But most of the time, because you have this daily mindfulness, it doesn't think. When it needs to reflect, understand, or arise a thought, it will arise. But very little or no thought. Means you are with the moment. You are aware of that process of arising of thought, the contemplation, the reflection, the inquiry. You are clearly aware. You are not heedlessly lost in thought and just thinking, planning, worrying. No more that type of heedlessness. Then when you are aware of your mental movement, all of your aggregate, that is what mindfulness of the five aggregate form and mind is all about. Initially, it's the mental hindrance. Then, specific mental phenomena is the five aggregate. This one is very powerful. Then from there, you will see the six internal and six external sense bases mindfulness again. This is how dependent origination come about. Then how, through your wrong view, your conditioning, you input the content of consciousness. That's why I said, without wisdom, you cannot do anything with the dependent origination. You cannot cut a feeling. That one is all gullible. Talk on it. Let go. Don't want to attach, don't want to hold, cut a feeling. The moment you have ignorance, ayoniso manasikara means what? You don't have wisdom at the moment of sense experience. Can follow? When you don't have wisdom at the moment of sense experience, the moment there is contact, it will condition feeling. That feeling can never become pure feeling because of your self-delusion. Attachment will go in. The grasping will go in. That's why it will condition craving. You cannot stop. You can reason. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have got angry. This is all your thought telling you. But the moment you have wisdom, it cannot do. Because it is so clear about this thing, impermanent, leading to suffering. No reality. He no you, he no me. Just form a mind, form a mind. That thing is just the way it is. That's why you have wisdom, this delusion gone, it becomes yoniso manasikara. When there is yoniso manasikara, means there is wisdom at the moment of sense experience. Means wise attention at the moment of sense experience. Then because it has wisdom, feeling will become pure feeling because there is no delusion. There is no fetters. No fear, no worry, no anxiety, no restlessness, no stirring of mind, no anger, no emotion, nothing. The evil root, the hindrance cannot arise. So this is how meditation is to be cultivated. Without wisdom, you cannot free. That's why all your meditative calmness, fantastic mind state in the retreat, no use. You come out to daily life, you are back to square one because you have not straightened your view. You have not developed the wisdom. You have not awakened to the universal characteristics of impermanent suffering state and non-self through the direct seeing, not through the thought. And this one will arise in the midst of life. That's why you have specific phenomenal awareness. I talk about physical, mental, and nature. Nature's phenomena I already shared with you. Now I go through with you again. Like a passing car. When you are aware, you know what happens. The specific phenomenal awareness, your awareness and the car move as one, without word one, just like that. Then the consciousness, that's why I say when your mind is in sati, every moment of seeing is in sati. Every moment of hearing is in sati. The sound, the vibration, the awareness and the vibration together. The smell also same. The taste also same. The tactile also same. Then the movement of thought also same. They are together. That's a specific nature's phenomena. Can follow? So this is where the cultivation becomes very different. Then when throughout the day you are like that, you are most of the time aware, heedful. You are no longer like last time, heedless, lost in thought. And when you are heedful, the Buddha said under Dhammapada, verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. You are destined for enlightenment. That's why this type of mind can awaken through the direct seeing. Sometimes it can be through hearing of the Dhamma again. Then all of a sudden it will awaken. Then sometimes it's reflection and contemplation. All of a sudden the mind will awaken because it has enough stability of wisdom or understanding through hearing, the first turning, through reflection, contemplation, which is the second turning, and inquiry. Then through the meditative state of silent inner awareness, the daily mindfulness. That's why when you have these three developed, when you are most of the time aware and heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. Then any of the first turning, second turning, or third turning, you will awaken. Just like what happened when my second last teacher just moved her hand. My nature awakened to the three characteristics of impermanent suffering. The person he was trying to explain to, the Singaporean, cannot understand. She's still looking at her hand. Yeah. But I was about 5 feet away. The nature just awakened like that. No wonder all of phenomena has this characteristic. She just moved her hand like that. Then like that. The whole three universal characteristics awakened already. That's why it's not what you think. You have to have faith. You just do. Then when the time comes, when the condition is there, it will just happen. So now I will come back to the whole of the teaching after I have explained. So dana, sila, you do through puja. Yeah? Then develop all the spiritual faculty of sada and virya. Yeah? Then sati will follow. Then bhavana is about samadhi and panya. So to have samadhi, you must have sati. Stabilize it, become samadhi. And this samadhi is not concentration, not absorption, not samatha, not a focused one-pointedness mind or absorption energy field. This one is a free mind that is unwavering and collected. The unwavering mind that is stable, collected and unwavering. Means at the moment of sense experience, it does not stir anymore. It does not react anymore. And that is samadhi. And this samadhi is most of the time stabilized through wisdom. When you straighten your view, as you straighten your view, it does not react like before. Then you realize your sati become more and more stable. As you straighten your view some more, it stabilizes some more. That's why the factors of enlightenment is always in this sequence. First, you must have sati, awareness, to investigate into the Dhamma, which is the second factor of enlightenment. When you investigate into it, the Buddha's teaching is stand up to investigation, like Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, 21, 22, 23, then the other related Dhammapada verse. Even verse 183. Eh? Then you have very strong, unshakable faith. That's why the virya will come. That faith will drive you to have virya, which is the third enlightenment factor. Now can follow. Sati, leading to Dhamma Vijaya, investigation of Dhamma. Then when you stand up to investigation, your faith very strong, it will drive you to develop virya, the third enlightenment factor. Then when you have virya, you will cultivate diligently. That's why you will strive on with heedfulness. Then what happened was, your sati stabilized until it become very, very stable. Means your mind enters sati. Can follow? Yeah? Your mind enters sati. That's why when your mind enters sati, it will have no thought. Then you will experience piti. Piti is the fourth enlightenment factor. Can follow? The fourth enlightenment factor of piti still have joy, understand? Not? Still have a mental state of joy, calmness and all things. Means it's not completely still. It's not completely tranquil. That's why you have to allow this piti to stabilize. You relax into it and maintain awareness, just silent. Then finally, this piti will become transform, and the fifth enlightenment factor, which is pasati, will arise. And what is pasati? Tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. This is the silent mind. Understand? This is the silent mind, no longer that awareness, sati. Understand? Silent mind means it's just silent, tranquil, still. That true mind, no movement. You understand? Can follow? Pasati. That's why when your mind is completely still, no movement, no activity, that is pasati. Then when you stabilize that pasati, it becomes unwavering. It becomes collected, accumulate into samadhi. But this type of initial samadhi is not the real one. The real one is the next enlightenment factor. The next enlightenment factor is upekkha. Upekkha is actually samadhi born of wisdom. Can follow? Samadhi with wisdom become upekkha. Then you don't need samadhi to be at peace. When you get old, when you cannot maintain that mind state, that jhanic state or whatever, the wisdom will allow your mind to have equanimity, which is the form of unwavering mind. The mind that is in what they call a state of equanimity, means equanimous. It does not waver, it's collected, it does not stir. That's why it's always at peace. And that one is the second aspect of the middle way. Avoid the two extremes, means the duality. Yeah. That's why the Noble Eightfold Path, yeah, the right view, then the opening statement of the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, avoid the two extremes. First is about sensual indulgence and self-mortification. The second one is to transcend duality, which is upekkha. So this one is what we need to understand. So wisdom can only come when there is sati and samadhi, so that you can see things as they are, not according to your memory, your conditioning, your views and your opinion. Then after that, when wisdom arises, you have the Dhamma. You understand clearly the phenomenal world, the conditioned and the unconditioned. That's why from there onward, this wisdom will liberate your mind, will free you. And this form of mind with the wisdom connected will not be deluded anymore. It will not get itself entangled. It will not get itself deceived by the phenomenal world. That's why this one will transform you. And this is the only thing that free wisdom. Nothing else free. Yeah? And this wisdom is what we talk about here. Acting according to understanding or wisdom is true action, then you will know how to act. It's no more according to memory, which is not acting at all. Now you understand? Before you become enlightened, all your memory is full of delusion. Your accumulated experiences, good and bad, scars of memory, your conditioning, your views, your opinion, your belief system, your tradition, and all these things is in your memory. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. You need to develop wisdom to act out of wisdom or true understanding. And that is true action without delusion. So now, can follow, eh? Now I will go on to the other thing. Okay, meditation, remember, relax, away, then maintain it, eh? Maintain for as long as you can. Then finally, don't use mind to meditate. Trust that nature. This one, you don't do until you touch your nature, your gateway. Then you just silent and let the nature do by itself. It will know what to do. You just relax, silent, and it will melt inside. Then it will move by itself. Yeah. No interference at all. No thought behind. That's why this type of meditation is from your understanding, your nature. You do not interfere. Then the Buddha talked about apamada, which is, I put here, most important, heedfulness. All of meditation, like I say, is to train yourself to develop the spiritual faculty of sati. Then you stabilize it to become ever mindful. That's why heedfulness is as defined by Dhammapada verse 23. The constantly meditative and ever mindful, they will realize the bond-free Nibbana. Yeah. Of course, they use another word, the steadfast one. The constantly meditative, ever mindful. Yeah. and the steadfast one, they will realize the supreme, born-free Nibbana. So that is what heedfulness is all about, ever mindful. So you train your mind to develop sati through puja, through your bhavana. Initially, if you have not stabilized your five spiritual faculty, you need to train. You train means have an object of meditation, start with anapanasati, train, stabilize it. Yeah. Then when it becomes ever mindful, you have to bring this mind state that you have trained into your daily life. That's why after anapanasati, you have to be aware of your four posture, even in the retreat. Sit aware, standing aware, walking aware. Don't try to not to be aware, Lord. Understand? Just walk. Body and mind as one. Then stand. When your awareness is with the body, there is no word. Understand? Just like that. To be aware inwardly, you can understand. Yeah? Means inwardly you are aware that the mind is with the body. Understand? Then when you walk, also inwardly, the awareness is the body and mind as one. Just walk. Don't try to find out whether I'm aware or not. Is that right? Is this what Brother Teo said? Is this what the Buddha meant? Then you're gone already. Well, that thought is telling you what to do. And thought again coming in through the back door. Like I explained last time, like you play game. Initially, very luncheon, even table tennis or badminton, or even you cooking. You're not skillful, understand? But later on, how did you develop the skill? You everyday cook, correct? Or everyday play. Play until all of a sudden, your stroke become very graceful. Then your cooking like automatic one. People ask you how you cook. Cook lah, just cook lah. That is what the training is all about. Do until it's part of you, understand? Then it becomes automatic. Then throughout the day, you are mindful. You are aware. Not until you have developed that. You still don't know how to meditate. You still don't know how to develop the true meditation. But if you are not mindful throughout the day, you are heedless. And the heedless are as if dead. That's why mindfulness in daily life is very important. The first three categories of practice of Kaya Nupassana, always remember. From the sati, after you have trained, stabilize it, ever mindful. Then, how you train the stability for posture. If you cannot be mindful of four posture, you cannot move on. Initially, four posture. Then all the connecting movement is the third category. Sati sampajana means every action, every movement in the present moment. Don't try to know when you do that. You just aware. Continue to be aware throughout the day. And I can tell you, when you stabilize it, all of a sudden, one day you realize, hey, how come everything I do, the body and mind is one? Even your bowing, your sitting, when you stand up, like slow motion, everything, the mind and the body as one. Then as you move your hand, everything like normal speed, but it's like everything together one. Then you can see your mind very clearly one. The mental intention, everything very clear one. Then you can be aware of what people is doing, whether he's thinking or he is heedless or he is lost in thought, whether he mindful or you will understand. That's why you have to reach that stability of mindfulness. Then only the progress will be there. Then you will understand the Dhamma on your own. That's why when Song Connect, I told him, technically you don't need a teacher. That's why he keep on understanding things. The Dhamma, the Mahayana, and all those things. He read, he understand. Why? Because connected from the silent mind, it arises. So you just do. Don't worry. Your time will come. You have your parami. Otherwise, you cannot be here listening to all this. Understand? Have faith. Sada virya. Then just do. Yeah. Then what happens is, when you understand that this is the focus, all of meditation, whether retreat or at home, your religious routine, you have to train your mind to be ever mindful. Not only mindful of the four posture of all action and all movement in the present moment, which is daily mindfulness. Then after that, only the beginning of real cultivation. Use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Use that mindfulness, awareness, to contemplate the three right views that the Buddha talked about. And then you start to understand his teaching. Then everything like zigzagbars will fall into place. No wonder the Buddha said, avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind, because it comes from the first right view, law of karma. Then you realize, no wonder the Buddha told the monk every day, the five daily contemplation, the last one, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of the karma. Then you realize karma is so important. Every day you have to reflect and contemplate. And the five daily contemplation, they are all connected to the first noble truth, reality. Except the fourth, the fifth one, which is karma. Then when you realize that our whole of this form and mind, which is subject to karma, we are born of it, heir to it, conditioned, supported by it, and we are what we are because it means almost 99.999% related to karma. You still don't want to take care of karma. Then your life will be affected. Then you will suffer. You will become miserable. So if you determine through this right view that you have to take care of karma, what must you do? To take care of karma, you have to avoid all evil, isn't it? Do good. That's how you follow the advice of the Buddha. And how to avoid all evil? You must have mindfulness to see your mental intention. And you must know the essential Dhamma. What constitutes evil? The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And reflect into it, contemplate into it, the second turning. So that you understand thoroughly, not just the word. Greed, the meaning is very wide. All of your selfishness is part of greed. And that word itself is so big. All of your cunningness, deceitfulness is part of greed. Your craving, your desire, your lust. They are all part of greed. That all of the negative mind states of envy, jealousy, anger, hatred, violence, they are part of the evil roots of anger. Then delusion is worse. Self-delusion. Ignorance. So all this lead to what? Fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. All the negativity of mind state. Without ignorance, there is no greed, no anger. The evil roots of greed and hatred come from ignorance. Without self-delusion, there is also no greed and no ignorance. All the mental hindrance, they come from ignorance and self-delusion. That's why the main culprit is sakkayaditti, self-delusion. When you have sakkayaditti, this is a major delusion, major ignorance. So because of that, you were determined to follow the advice of the Buddha, to keep your precepts, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, virtue. That's why from right view, you cultivate right thought. Then you have to understand what constitutes wrong thought. Otherwise, you cannot cultivate right thought, Anasana. Because they always teach you in the text. What did they teach you? What constitutes right thought? Huh? The four Brahmavihara states. And that is so limited now. Actually, all of thought that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion is all right thought. But you have to understand what constitutes wrong thought. Then only you understand whether you have wrong thought or not. Then only you understand, like Sabbasavak Sutta, the Buddha said, things that are unfit for attention, you must not pay attention. When you pay attention, what happens? The defilement, the anusaya, they become more. And these are all wrong thoughts. Your anger, your fear, your selfishness, your delusion, all become more. That's why I have to teach you what constitutes wrong thought. Wrong thought means what? Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your heedlessness, your selfishness, your emotional negativity. So all these are wrong thoughts. Then the other thing that I make it easy for you is whenever you are not happy and not peaceful, the wrong thoughts are there. That's why you don't have happiness. You are not peaceful because of what? You got worry, you got anxiety, desire, craving. When things don't go your way, when you have problem, just like this, we come back to this, very hot, molten, then this can be your problem, understand that. But because this one is causing suffering to you at your mind level, that's why you don't understand. Because you lack mindfulness, you are not sensitive. You suffer until so miserable mentally, you suffer without knowing that you are suffering, that is a real delusion. But the physical body is different. When you are holding on to something very hot, burning you and tormenting you, you can feel it in there. You will not hold it in there. You will straight away put it down, not letting go, no, because you know it's foolish to hold, because it's burning you, tormenting you. But because your mind is not the physical body, and you don't have sati, you are not sensitive, that's why you don't even feel that mental suffering which has made you miserable, full of sorrow, lamentation, going into depression, mental suffering and agony, and yet you don't know you are suffering. You still blame people. Hila, make me like that. These people cost me all this. But if it's a physical body, you straight away you understand that you have to put it down. Put it down means what? Don't hold on to it. Because it's burning you, tormenting you. Understand? So your thought is the same. Understand? That's why your thought is like a tool. T-O-O-L. Like a knife, a tool. To help you to shape fruit, cut fruit, so that you can make use of it. And this is the right way of using that tool, which is the knife. But if you use that knife to cut yourself, harm yourself, hurt yourself, and hit out at others, that is the wrong way of using the knife, isn't it? It's stupidity, isn't it? So your thought is the same. If you use it wrongly and arise the wrong thought, you harm yourself, you hurt yourself, you make yourself miserable, suffer. And you hit out at others, you make people suffer and miss. And this one at the thought level, you never see. That's why this is a real delusion. If I know it's a tool for me to use to live life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life and help me train, meditate, and perfect myself, then I use it like a knife to shape fruit, cut fruit, vegetable, carving, and all those things. I will not use it to harm myself, hurt myself, and hit out at others. So you use thought appropriately following Noble Eightfold Path, you will arise the right thought. That thought conditions speech, action, and livelihood. Then your Noble Eightfold Path fall into place. But to have right thought, you must understand what constitutes wrong thought, and you must have right view. When your view is wrong, your thought will be wrong. When your view is right, you know what to do. You know why you have to keep precept. You know why you have to avoid all evil to good. Because it's law of karma. You reap what you sow. Do good because good. Then you will do your duty. The form and mind, although not you, but it has its duty because it is subject to karma. Understand? It is within the conditioned world. That's why it's subject to karma. That's why the Buddha says you are born of your karma. That refers to the form and mind. The five aggregate of form and mind is not your true nature. So all this, when you understand the whole of the teaching, they are connected, interrelated. So whatever they are burning you, tormenting you, causing you suffering, you don't hold. You hold because you are deluded. You always say, this is my problem, I have to solve it. That's why you keep on worrying about it. You keep on holding on to it. This is what human being is doing. This is where suffering becomes intensified. Because you hold. Hold means what? It continues to torment you, burn you, cause suffering in you mentally. Because you lack mindfulness, sati. You are not sensitive. You cannot feel all this. Whereas a physical body, immediately you will never touch again. Even a kid will know. When they are naughty, you tell them, okay, you go and touch their hot pot or the tea. The moment he touch and he got burned, next time even it's a cold pot, you ask him to put his hand, he will never go near, I tell you. So all this is, you learn from life. But when you are sensitive, you learn very fast. When you are insensitive and deluded, you never learn. You keep on repeating. Okay? Can follow, huh? So now we just go through the whole thing. Huh? The teaching of the Buddha is the truth. Huh? These are the truth. Yeah. The truth is what the Dhamma is. Okay? So Dhamma is truth, which points towards the reality, and through that you develop understanding, which is wisdom. Then you know how to live life, you know how to act. But this Dhamma that is proclaimed to you, or you read it from the text, they are only words, understand? And the words is not the real thing. That's why these are pointer, like a raft that take you across the ocean of samsara, which is to realize the other shore, which is the unconditioned Nibbana. So the realization of the teaching is important. You not only have knowledge, the words is not the thing. You have to be develop the understanding, means through meditation you realize it. You really understand what this thing is. It's no more words. Like Nibbana, the unconditioned, is no more a word. Nibbana is when the form and mind cease, you will understand. There is nothing inside there. Even the pure awareness, the consciousness, the true mind also no more. That's why it returns to its true nature, the source. So all this is part and parcel of the cultivation. Then to develop wisdom from the mindfulness of the six internal and six external sense bases, then through it, retrospectively reverse it. This is the fourth way. This is the wisdom way. The one that is the third way is just aware and be with it. Be with it, just aware. Then the anger or the sloth and torpor or the whatever lust or emotion, they will dissipate and cease to be. That these are conditioned arising state, dependent originating. Before anger was there, before sloth and torpor arise, the mind was peaceful. The original state is the true mind, silent, peaceful, just aware. So because of that, when you are able to be aware, means don't resist, don't suppress, don't control, don't do anything, just stay with it, be with it. Awareness and the anger or fear or emotion as one, then you will see it dissipating. Like Krishnamurti said, the very flowering of thought is the very ending of that thought. Means no more mental energy to feed it. Then you realize, I don't have to do anything. Anger will cease. Lust will cease. Selfishness will cease. Emotion will cease. Then you will return back to the true mind, the original state, which is peacefulness, stillness, silence. Like swimming. The original state of body is buoyancy. Don't resist. Just let go of everything. Don't hold on to anything. Let the body sink. Then the buoyancy force will actually push it up, because the body by nature is lighter than water. That's why this buoyancy force will push it out and you will float. And to float, you don't have to do anything. Just like to be aware, you don't have to do anything. The moment you are without thought, you're already aware. The moment you don't struggle in the pool, relax and allow it to be, you will float. The mind is the same. Don't resist. Don't do anything. The thinking will not arise. Then you just let it be. Whatever conditioned thinking will slow down. Finally, it will cease. But that third way will not develop much wisdom. It only understands that this is not you. Condition arising, dependent originating, which is very good. But without wisdom, you still cannot free. The next moment you encounter the same sense of experience, you will react again. But you have not straightened your view. So to do this, you need to go to the fourth way, to trace the origination factor, then retrospectively reverse it. And this is always through the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases. Upon contact, consciousness arises, and you input the content. through your views and opinion. Before you are enlightened, all these are wrong view. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. So this whole thing will summarize to you all the cultivation that you need to understand. Okay, another 5 minutes. You got any question? Huh? Yeah, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So today one is very important. So that you know what you are doing in the name of meditation. Otherwise, I realize a lot of Buddhist cultivators, they don't seem to understand. They spend so much time, so much effort to go and do all this. Go for retreat, everything. After that, come back. Maybe some good experiences, mind states. Then back to daily life, square one again. Then you have to go again. So even this trip to Anandagiri, Achalo also realized that. He keep on telling the group, he said, this time the retreat, he want to emphasize more on after the retreat one. You must, but he still had the idea, you must meditate more. Means he didn't know that you must have a complete good daily religious routine. He said, you must at least meditate morning one time, evening one time, and night one time. Then later on, I add in, I say, daily mindfulness. Sati Sampajana. He also know important Sati Sampajana. But his understanding is different. He believe in going into deep meditation to develop the samadhi. To him, that is samadhi. Then with that samadhi mind state, you come out. Then you meditate very often, constantly, until this mind state is very stable. Then you believe one day can awaken. The only thing that I have to cover for him is, I say, yeah, I did share with most of Kalyamita, they know the daily religious routine is very important. So I say, all this you have to train until your daily mindfulness, sati sampajana, very clear, very stable. Then the direct seeing, your insight in the phenomena, to realize the three universal characteristics of impermanent suffering state, leading to the understanding of non-self or empty nature or existence. Then after that, the mind is different. Then the mind with that understanding will not waver anymore. But he always say, he practice, practice, practice until every time he hopes to reduce the defilement. You understand what he's trying to tell you? He think by slowly reducing, one day you will be rooted out. Wisdom is not like that one. Wisdom, the moment you awaken, is gone. Not the wisdom is gone. Immediately rooted out. You don't hold anymore. You don't hold anymore. What is there to let go? But when you are holding, you try to let go. There is actually, in Hokkien, we say Gyalai Kong one. You cannot do, because that's why I keep on saying Yoniso Manasikara. You have to awaken with the wisdom. That only you can cope with daily life. You know why it's so difficult to cope with daily life without the daily mindfulness or not? Our sixth sense door, you know how fast it moves or not? I tell you, like lightning. And without a stable daily mindfulness, how can you cope with life? You will think a lot, worry a lot. Your mind stir very fast. And you are hardly aware. Most of the time, you are lost in thought. That's why without daily mindfulness, you cannot cope with life. You cannot understand life. You cannot even understand the Buddha's teaching. Because this one needs the five spiritual faculty. Especially sadha, virya, driving you to cultivate sati. You must stabilize sati. That's why everything centers on sati. The 37 factor enlightenment, sati is repeated many, many times. And sati is the first factor enlightenment. Without sati, you cannot start. You cannot investigate dhamma. You cannot cultivate precepts. You cannot cultivate the four foundations. You cannot be aware of what is going on. You cannot be heedful. You cannot cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path at all. That's why sati is number one, most important. So whatever meditation you do, always remember to train yourself in sati, stabilize it, then develop the wisdom to the first turning, second turning, and third turning. Especially the second turning, contemplate until very, very clear. Then when this one stabilizes, you actually are ready to receive truth. Then you can become, you can awaken, the form and mind can awaken through any of the first turning, second turning, or third turning. Sometimes you just hear something from my recording, or from my sharing, or in a retreat. You just awaken, and the nature just understand. Then after that, no more words. Then the form and mind say, actually, it's just so simple. You know? And now you ask Song. It's actually so simple. You know what he told people? You know? Don't do anything. You just listen carefully what brother tell you, brother tell you, and you just do. That's it. Finish. Even the notes, everything. You just read until you understand clearly. Then just do very fast. Because last time he cannot penetrate because the coming obstruction and the conditioning from the other method of meditation and all those things. Then later on, when the karmic obstruction break, then the condition arise and he connect back through that chanting. That chanting. That's why different people, different, it will come in different way. Some meditative, some in various way. Then the moment he connect through the silent mind, he understand. Then because he brought my notes there, then he read, hey, how come now so clear the notes? Then later on, after 2 years, he read again, a deeper meaning is there. There was so much thing actually within the same talk, within the same Dhamma, the Heart Sutta, the appendix and all those. Then he said, whatever you want to know, you read the Heart Sutta, they are all there. Except, of course, the Bodhisattva way is not there. But the Dhamma, to understand, to awaken, to cultivate, they are all there. Okay? What's the time? 10:30. Okay, we better stop. I think they are going for a retreat already this weekend. The Achalo one. So we do the closing puja. Okay, let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the last 2 hours plus. Then we shall together share and transfer all these merits to all beings who can receive them. First, we will share them with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditva kirang rakantu loka sasana itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tidang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tidang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tidang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
So next week's Thursday class will be in Pak Mas Kuli's house.
Yeah.
So she will send out the announcement next week. And Brother Phil is giving a talk in Klang tomorrow night. For those that want to go, you have to make your own transport because I won't be going.